Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now, here's a message from Pastor Dan Roth.
Amen. Well, today, get your Bibles out and go with me to Matthew chapter number 25. Matthew chapter number 25. This is so good. Part number 5 on our birthday celebration weekend. 31 years of the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. There was a man who was a finished carpenter. He was a skilled tradesman, contractor. Throughout his lifetime, he had learned how to do fine carpentry, built beautiful things, got into the business of building custom homes. So he had built a ton of homes in his lifetime, and he'd gotten very good at it over the years, and started working for a company and really took off and was doing some great things. After many years of building custom homes, he started to get older and started to realize that he couldn't do this forever. And so he had purposed in his heart that he was going to do one more home, and that was going to be his last home, and then he was going to retire. And so he did a really good job. He put his heart and his soul into this last project, really made sure that it was fine carpentry, made sure that everything was smooth and straight and best materials, best craftsmanship, and he really took pride in that last home that he built. He took the keys after it was all done, and he went to his boss, and he handed him the keys, and he said, "Boss, with this job, also I'm handing in my resignation. I'm done. You know, I've served, and I've built this company over the years and built a lot of great homes, and I'm satisfied, and I know that this is my last home, and so it's been a great privilege to work for you. Thank you for the time. Thank you for the experience. Thank you for the blessing, and thanks for allowing me to build these homes for you." And the boss said, "Oh, I really wish that you would have told me that this was going to be your last home, because I have one more project that I need you to do for me. And I really need you to build one more home." The guy declined and he said, "No, I can't do anymore. I'm done. I'm retiring. You know, it's just, I don't have any more homes in me. I gave my heart and my soul to this last home, and I couldn't do another home." And he said, "Please, I really need you to do this. You know, I don't have anyone else. I'm begging you. You know, I really have an important job that I need you to do. No one else can do this. You need to do this. And so I really would like it if you would do one more job. Would you do it for me? Would you do it for an old friend?" And the guys tell him, "No, you know what? My body's aching. I'm hurting. And I just can't do another home." And he says, "Please, please." And after he's begging him and going after him for a while, finally he says, all right, listen, because we're friends, I'll do it for you. This one last house." So the boss got all excited and he brought him into the side room and he said, "Okay, here's where it's going to be." And he knew the neighborhood. He knew the location. In fact, he had built homes in that area and thought what a beautiful area this was going to be. So he wasn't really surprised that they were going to do another home there. And there's the lot. He remembers the lot because he would go there often and have lunch, and it had a beautiful view. It was a place where he could see a great home being built. So he says, "We're going to build on this lot." He says, "Oh, it's a great lot, you know." And then he rolled out the plans in front of him. The man knew plans. He knew these homes that they had been building, and he knew this floor plan. It was a great floor plan. In fact, the guy had mentioned to the boss, if he had ever built a house, he would love to have that house. And he had mentioned some things specifically he would have done, and he realized the boss put those into this floor plan. And he started to get a little bit bitter, a little bit angry, like, wait a second, he took my ideas, and now he's giving it to someone? I mean, this is crazy. This is the house he wants me to build? This is where he wants me to build it? I mean, this would be my dream home, but now I'm building this house for someone I didn't even want to build. I don't even have another house in me. Why am I doing this? And grudgingly, he takes the plans, and he leaves, and he goes to start construction, builds the foundation, starts to frame it out. But you know, his heart's not into this time, so he's not really inspecting. He's not really looking over the shoulder of the subcontractors. He's just getting by. They're passing inspections, just kind of, you know, doing the things that they need to do. He's rushing through the job. He's not buying the best materials. He's just getting what he needs to complete the job. He's not putting in the time and the effort into the finished carpentry, which he was the master craftsman on. He did all that stuff himself, and so the sanding and the straight edges and the plumbness of the wood and all of the different things that he was putting in, all the details that made his house a special, he just kind of glanced over and grazed over and just got it done, got the house finished, made sure everything was all set, got the keys to the house, and rushed back after the months of building the house and went back to his employer, and he handed him the keys and he said, "Boss, there you go. I'm done. Don't ask me to do anything else." And he said, "No, I'm not going to ask you to do anything else, but before you leave, I have a goodbye gift for you, a retirement gift." And he took those same keys that he had just been handed and he placed them back in the man's hands and said, "I didn't want to tell you, but this last house was for you. I knew you loved that lot. I knew you loved the floor plan. I knew the changes you would make. And so I wanted you to build your own house. I'm gifting you your dream home. Enjoy it for your retirement. The Bible is very clear for all of us that what we do here on the earth is going to go before us into eternity. That the way that we build, the Bible cautions us, make sure to build right. Because there's going to come a day where we go before the Lord. And God will judge our works, what we've done while we're here in the body, whether good or whether evil. And there are going to be things that as the fire of God hits our lives and the things that we built, there's going to be things that go on into eternity. Gold, silver, precious stones. And they'll come out sparkling and shining. And there will be a lasting thing that remains. But there are other things that we built into our lives that are like wood, hay, and straw. And when the fire hits those things, we will suffer loss, the Bible says, but we'll come out smelling like smoke. And it's very important that we all build in such a way that we build for eternity, that we don't just build for now and for the temporary, but we build towards the eternal because we will live in the things that we have built while we're here on the earth. Matthew chapter number 25, last week when we were together, we talked about the parable of the talents. Now, the parable is a story. It's an invented, made-up story that we can imagine that it was like this. And it shows us a spiritual reality. But Matthew 25 doesn't end with this story. Jesus continues speaking, and in one breath, he connects what we're about ready to read at the end of Matthew chapter number 25. And Jesus doesn't give another parable. So when we read these, I want you to know that this is not a story that's showing us a spiritual reality. This is what's going to take place. He gives us a vision of the future, and he gives us a vision of that day when God will come and when he will judge the nations. Matthew chapter 25, verse number 31 says this in Matthew chapter number 25, verse number 31, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. Now, I believe that when Jesus was speaking, when he was telling the parable, probably people were having a little side talk, little chatter, you know? There's probably a little murmur every now and then. Somebody would respond to something that he said, oh, did you hear that? The guy with five got five more, and then he was good. That was awesome. That'd be me, you know? And then they would hear about the guy with one and how what he had was taken away. Is that fair? Is that just? Would God do that? Why is Jesus telling this story? Probably a little murmur that was going on, little chatter, little side talk conversations going on when Jesus was telling the parable. Maybe a little elbow nudging, a little rib beating, you know, like, hey, did you hear that? Did you see what he's saying there? That's you or that's me or that's what's going to go on. But I believe that when Jesus started to talk and he transitioned out of the parable into now this vision of the future, I believe a hush fell over the crowd. I believe that people leaned in and started to listen up. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. Can you picture it? Can you see Jesus seated on the throne? Can you see the heavenly host? Verse 32, and all the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. Verse 33, and he will set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on his left. Can you see the king with his scepter taking one by one the sheep and the goats, one to the right and one to the left. Verse 34, then the king will say to those on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. I want you to notice that Jesus speaks to the ones on his right. The right hand was symbolic in Old Testament times and in New Testament times. The king would have someone seated on his right hand, and that was a position of power. That was the position of authority. That was the position of strength, was the right hand. And the left hand was a position, in fact, left-handed, you could translate in the Latin, sinister. It was actually not a good place to be. And so he divides the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. And he says to those on his right, he says, come, you blessed of my Father. Everybody say blessed. Remember, we already talked in this series about the blessing of God. It is the capacity to succeed. And that when we bring our tithes, that when we steward the things that God has given to us the way that God wants us to, that we now open the door for the blessing of God. Now, the blessing goes much beyond just tithing. It goes on into your lifestyle of stewardship. And yes, the tithe is a part of that, but I believe that Jesus is not just looking at dollar amounts. I believe that Jesus is looking at the whole life. And he says, come, you blessed of my Father. So these are people who had the capacity to succeed because they stewarded their lives according to what God told them to do. And he says, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. What were they going to inherit? Oh, come on. You guys can read, right? You guys are here today. Come on. This is an interactive sermon. You got to play with me today, all right? So what were they going to inherit? The kingdom. Come and inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And he goes on in the next verse and he says this. He says, verse 35, for I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Now the righteous respond in the next verse, and they respond just like you and I would respond. Look at what they say. Verse 37, then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? You know, if Jesus showed up in your living room and said, can I have a glass of water? You would probably freak out, number one, and you'd have to say, peace, be still, it's I, right? I just want a drink of water. And you, with fear and trembling, would go to your refrigerator and get a glass of water. You'd make sure it was clean and there was no lipstick lines on it or anything like that, no water spots. And you would deliver him the water, right? Why? Because it's Jesus. You would remember if Jesus showed up and was hungry in your house. They go on and look at what it says. When did we see a stranger take you in or naked and clothing? You know, if you saw Jesus naked, you'd remember that, right? Definitely we would remember that. That'd be like, whoa. Whoa, double whoa, right? When did we see you like that? When did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? Doesn't that mess with your theology? Wait a second, Jesus being sick, you're the healer. Jesus being in prison, I mean, you already went to prison. You already went to jail. You already had your trials. You went to the cross, but Jesus, you ascended. You went to the right hand of the Father. No one can lock you up. No one can jail you. No sickness can touch you. By your stripes, we are healed now. Jesus, you took our sickness on you. When did we see you that way? We would remember that, Lord. Look at what the king answers to them. Verse number 40, and the king will answer and say to them, assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. Jesus makes a direct connection between what we do while we're here on the earth with what is going to take place in eternity. When we go out, like the parable of the talents, and we do business till he comes, what is the business? The business is the kingdom business. And we build the kingdom of God. And we go out and we do the good works that God has called us to do, prepared beforehand. And when we start to reach out beyond ourselves, when we start to touch lives, the least of these, those that society has cast out, those that were down and out, those that had no hope, those that were hungry and thirsty and naked and a stranger, homeless and afraid, not having any place, not having any family, never landing anywhere, but always jumping from place to place, from thing to thing. And they were strangers. Those that were sick and hurting and broken and held down by the devil and by life. Those that were in prison, bound in chains. Jesus says, if you've done it to the least of these, my brethren, you have done it to me. What we do to build the kingdom goes directly to the king. Is anybody listening today? Verses go on and it says this in the next verse, verse 41, then he will also say to those on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed. Now remember, the first group was blessed. Why? Because they did God's will, God's way. But this group, he says, cursed. Remember, we said that when we remove ourselves from the blessing of God, that now we are cursed. Why? Because not being blessed by God is a curse, right? And he says, depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. I want you to recognize this, because oftentimes we have altar calls at this church and we say, hell was never intended for you or me. It was made for the devil and his angels. That's the proof text right there for that statement. Hell was not for you and me. But when we remove ourselves from the blessing of God and we refuse to do what God has called us to do, when we don't build the kingdom, when we shy away from the people around us, we are not doing something that God wants us to do. We are not properly stewarding the life that God did for us. We are burying our talent, to use a term from last week. Why would he do this? Verse 42, for I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger and you did not take me in, naked and you did not clothe me, sick and in prison, and you did not visit me. Just like the righteous, they answer the same thing. Then they will also answer in verse 44, saying, Lord. Notice they still call him Lord. They know who he is. and they address him properly, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you? Verse 45, then he will answer them saying, assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. Bible says, when we shut up our love from our brethren, from the people around us, how can the love of God even be in us? Reveals where we're at, shows us our heart. Verse 46, and these cursed, these goats, these ones who did not do anything with what God gave them in their stewardship, and these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Remember, Jesus just gave a parable where he says, enter into the joy of the Lord. You've been faithful over a little, I'll put you over much. And he gives them something. Now, Jesus had already mentioned that the king would say to those on his right, come, you blessed of my Father. Verse 34. And what does he say? Inherit the kingdom. An inheritance is something that we receive and we get to partake of, right? An inheritance is a place, it's a property. And he says, I want you to inherit the kingdom. Now, the people that had gone out and had properly stewarded what God gave them were building God's kingdom. And that same kingdom that they were building, God takes the keys to them, but then he turns around and he hands them back to you. And he says, I want you to have your portion. I want you to inherit the kingdom of God prepared for you before the foundations of the world. I had this planned all along. And what we build here on the earth, we better be careful how we build, because we're going to build those things into eternity. And what we do while we're here on the earth matters in heaven. What we do with our stewardship has eternal rewards. See, when we sow faithfully to build the kingdom of God, we're storing up for ourselves a rich reward. But I want you to notice something in the parable that the righteous are unaware when the king starts to talk to them about what they did for him. They're unaware that their faithful service was directly to Jesus, the king. All they knew is that they were using their talents and they were properly stewarding the things that God gave them the way that God wanted them to. See, we don't give to get. This is not this type of a message where we motivate you just by, hey, you're going to get this. I don't believe when we go to heaven, we're going to be like, whoa, look at all this stuff I have. Ha ha, you must have really messed up. Oh my goodness. There's not going to be any ungodly competition. There's not going to be any of that kind of stuff. The Bible tells us that the sower and the reaper will rejoice together. Your gifts, there's rewards waiting for us in heaven. And yes, for all of us that are believers, for all of us that are saved, for all of us that are Christians, there is an eternal reward that we get to enter into the joy of the Lord together. It's the same reward all across the board. But there are differing rewards according to service and according to faithfulness and according to what we sow while we're here on the earth. And we will receive that individually. Why? Because the judgment we receive is an individual judgment as well. And so there will be differing gifts. There will be different things that take place. There will be different crowns that are handed out. And I don't believe that anybody's going to be looking at someone else with jealousy or envy. Those things will not enter into the kingdom of heaven because those things are sinful and no sin can be in God's presence. And when we die and we go to be with him, or when Jesus comes back, we shall be changed and we will no longer have the sin nature. And so we won't be looking over the fence saying, man, I wish I had what they had. And they won't be looking at us saying, man, you really screwed up on the earth, I guess. That's not what it's going to be like. We're going to be looking over the fence saying, wow, look at what God did through you. Look at the faithfulness. Oh my goodness, that is awesome. And they're going to be looking back saying, whoa, oh my goodness, did you do that? That's amazing. That is wonderful. And we're going to celebrate and rejoice together in eternity because God ultimately is going to get all the praise for it. He's going to get all the glory for it. He's going to get all the honor for it. The righteous will take those crowns that have been delivered to them, and we will cast them down at the feet of Jesus, and we will sing for eternity, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. See, this is why we at The Rock teach good works, because we want you to receive the blessing in eternity. This is why we teach tithing. People get so upset and so uptight over tithing. Oh my goodness, God's not into amounts, he's not into money, he's not into, he's not. But these are principles that will bless you. And you can choose to be blessed or not. But we're still going to teach it. That's why we teach giving and generosity above and beyond, because God's more into that than he is into the tithe. God really says everything. It's all mine. And you just steward it. So don't be close-fisted and I'm not doing it and you don't tell me how much. No, you be open-handed. You be generous. You be kind. You be lavish because you have a lavish God who gave you everything you have anyways. Freely you have received. Freely you should give. That's why we teach these principles. That's why we teach kingdom living, because you are building not your kingdom. This is not your thing. You are building his kingdom. This is his thing. And you will enter into the rich welcome and eternal reward of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ at the end of all this. Here's what it comes down to. We want to see you blessed. That's our motivation. That's our heart. That's our desire, is that you be blessed. Why is that our desire? Because that's God's desire for your life. In the book of Philippians, the Apostle Paul is writing to the church. He's got so much joy, he just can't contain it. You can see it in every chapter. And in the very last chapter, he starts to thank them because he says, you guys were the only ones that supported me in my ministry. No other church shared with me in the matter of giving or receiving except you guys. You guys were the only ones that sent aid time and time again to service my needs. But then he makes a statement in Philippians chapter 4, verse number 17. Look at this. He says, not that I seek the gift. He's not looking for money. He's not looking for a handout. He's not looking to meet his needs. Not that I seek the gift. What is he seeking then? But I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. See, in heaven, I get the picture that there is a bank. And that this bank has a whole lot of accounts in it. And each one of these accounts has your name and my name on it individually. And that every time we do something here on the earth, there's a credit that goes up into heaven eternally, and that bank balance starts to increase on our behalf. What did Jesus say? Jesus said, don't store up for yourself treasures here on the earth where moth and rust destroy, where thieves come in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasure in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves cannot come in and steal. See, our lives have to have the eternal perspective. Because at the end of all of this building, at the end of all of this life, at the end of all this stewardship, what God has given us, we're going to go into the welcome and the reward that God has for each and every one of us. We're not giving to get, we're giving to build the kingdom of God, and we get the tremendous blessing of living eternally in that same kingdom that we built. It's important how we build. So my encouragement to you all today is this: so good. So good. Remember, it took us 4 weeks just to get two little principles about that. God must be first, and I must be a faithful steward. That's how to do it. You know, normally when we give a message, we have a four-part message. We got 3 points a message. You'll have 12 points. I just got two. Put God first in your life and be a faithful steward of the things that God has given to you. Remember in Vision Weekend earlier in this year, we said this is a year to sow, and we're going to sow good. We're going to do what God says, because good is what God says. Therefore, in order to sow good, we said some things. Number one, we said sow strategically. That we are to plan where we're going to sow. We're going to plan what we're going to build. We're going to plan what we're going to do. And strategically, we need to get our minds off of ourselves. See, when you sow for the temporary and for the natural and for the now, you'll end up sowing to your own pleasures. You'll end up sowing towards your belly. You'll end up sowing towards your looks. You'll end up sowing your time into things that are vanity, things that are fleeting and passing. But if you start to strategically turn your mindset off of self and building your own self and your own selfish little kingdom, and you start to expand your ideas and you start to open up your mind and you start to direct your life and strategically say, how can I build the kingdom of God? That's how your tithing comes in. That's how your generosity, that's how your miracle offering comes in. Some of you guys have been praying about this all year. You've been planning, you've been saving up so strategically. How are you going to reach your family for Jesus? The same ones that laughed at you and said, oh, you're a Jesus follower now? Pah. How are you going to reach your family? Start to strategically look at what you can do. How are you going to reach your neighborhood? Guys, I can preach the gospel. I'm anointed to pastor here. I'm not anointed to go into your house and go into your neighborhood. Reach the people that you have influence with. You are. How are you going to reach them? You're the full-time minister of the gospel there. How are you going to reach out? How are you going to reach the people in the job place? How are you going to start to reach out to your coworkers and to the people that God has brought into your life? So strategically, start to plan out your giving. Start to plan out your sowing. Start to plan out your life, what God wants you to do. Pray and ask God. Man, you know, some of us aren't good planners. I'm not one. Ask the Holy Spirit. He will show you things to come. He will give you the strategies that you need. He will give you the implementation. He'll give you the process. So strategically. What else to sow good? Sow bountifully. The Bible says the measure that you use will be measured back to you. Some of us are using a teaspoon. We've just been sowing that teaspoon. I would encourage you to expand your giving. Because the Bible says he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. He who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. I believe that this weekend God is saying to us, I want you to expand your tent pegs. I want you to lengthen your cords. I want you to stretch out your curtains in the book of Isaiah. I believe that that's a word for all of us today. That God is saying it's time to start to sow a greater seed. It's time for you to step out in faith. It may be scary. You may feel like you're out there on a limb. But like one pastor said, that's where the fruit is when you get out on a limb. And it's time for you to start to sow bountifully. Maybe you've been using that teaspoon and today it's time to break out the shovel. Maybe you've been using the shovel and it's time to break out the wheelbarrow. Maybe you've been breaking out the wheelbarrow and it's time to back up the truck. Whatever it is, start to expand your heart. Start to expand your capacity. Start to reach out and sow bountifully. Sow bountifully with your time. Start to invest in people. Some of you guys have not invested in your family the way that you need to invest. Get home after a long day, I just want to go watch Netflix, and you've been neglecting the children. They need to hear the word of God coming from your life. They need to hear this is the way to walk in. They need to know that mom and dad love them. It's time to sow. Some of you guys, it's time to sow into your community. Sometimes some of you need to sow more into the word of God and learning and growing and developing your heart to become stronger in the things of God. Some of you guys need to sow into community. Some of you guys have ministries in your hearts and it's time to expand that ministry. You've been doing it at this level. You've just been helping one person out. But God's saying, I want you to start to reach out a greater capacity. Start to sow more seeds, sow bountifully. And finally today is to sow faithfully. Sow faithfully. Do what God has called you to do. Believe God and step out. And do the works that God has called you to do. As Pastor Jess comes up today, we're going to receive our second offering, the miracle birthday offering. And I want to let you know how this is going to work, because this is a holy moment for us. These gifts represent seed that God is going to use to build the kingdom of God. Today, maybe you came unprepared and you said, you know what, I don't know. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to give. I want you to pray and talk to God about it. Maybe you don't give today, but God says, I want you to give this by this time. So faithfully. Maybe today you didn't have anything prepared and God placed something at your heart that you can give today. Be faithful to do what God has called you to do. Some of you guys have planned your gifts and you're ready to give. God bless you guys. So appreciate those hearts. So today we're going to bring those things here in the house of God. And the ushers, in a moment, I'm going to have them stand, and we have a yellow envelope, different than the white envelope, because it's a different offering. And today, if you're in need of one of those envelopes to give by cash or credit card, the ushers have those available for you. Go ahead, ushers, service the people. And all you got to do is simply raise your hand. You can give this offering with those yellow envelopes. Now, some of you guys are doing the checks, and you can just write out your checks to the Rock Church, and then put in the memo line, MBO, Miracle Birthday Offering, MBO. And that'll go towards this offering this weekend. Some of you guys are techno givers. You love the technology. You love to give on your phones. You can just tag the letters MBO with any gift, Miracle Birthday Offering, MBO, as you do your text to give thing. And in a moment, after you guys are prepared and after you guys receive your envelopes, a lot of hands still up. The ushers are coming around your direction. Just keep your hands up. Be patient with them as they serve you. But we're going to pray together. We're going to bless this offering. We're going to bless this church. We're going to say thank you, Jesus, for 31 years. And then we're going to conclude that prayer by saying the Inland Empire shall be saved. Because that's the seed that we want to see grow the most. And then the band's going to strike up. They're going to start to sing and lift up their voices and praise to God. And I want you to put a smile on your face. Let's not give grudgingly. Let's not be sourpusses looking like we've been sucking on lemons. Come on, put a smile on your face. This is a holy thing. This is a blessing to be able to give. This is a blessing to participate in building the kingdom of God. And as you have your offering, we're going to have some wheelbarrows come out. The ushers are going to bring those out once they're done servicing the people. They're going to bring some wheelbarrows, one on this side and one on this side. I want you to bring that offering with a smile on your face, with a pep in your step. I want you to dance down those aisles if you can. And if you want to, you can twirl, you can spin, you can celebrate. If you want to hold up your cell phone while you're doing this, man, hold up your cell phone and get down here and just push send as you hit the wheelbarrow. Whatever you got to do. All right? And then afterwards, you can dance right on out of here and you can be dismissed. And we'll see you guys tonight at 6 o'clock here for our birthday celebration weekend. Are we ready to give? Pastor Jess, will you pray? And at the end, let's shout, the Inland Empire shall be saved.
Awesome. Well, Lord, we just come before you. And as we give today, Lord, as we sow into the house of God, Lord, I ask that you would build the houses of God that are represented. Lord, that the favor of God will pour out upon them, their families, their children, God. Lord, I pray that you would increase our capacity as a church, God. Lord, that as we sow, God, that your heart would be displayed in every penny, every dollar, every amount, that God, that it would be like the fish and the loaves, and that would be multiplied into the Inland Empire, into the surrounding cities, into the nations, God. Lord, that the gospel would be preached, that lives would be changed, that the devil would have no more place. God, we stand in the gap for miracles with our offering today, God. Those that need to be healed, God, we ask for supernatural manifestations of healing, God. Lord, we ask for wayward children that are not serving you to come back to the borders, come back to their Father God, the Heavenly Maker. Lord, we ask, God, for provision. We ask for favor. We ask for blessing. God, that as they're coming in and they're going, Lord, that their homes would be anointed, that the presence of God would go forth, that God, that you would pour upon them and that you would rest on them today. And Lord, as we give in faith, God, we stand in the gap for those, God, that can't. And Lord, we ask that, God, that you would increase our borders, increase our capacity, God. Give us a voice for the nation. God, give us a voice to be full-time ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Lord, we give today with hearts full and joyful and happy. And God, do your will. Have your way with this church. And Lord, we love you so much. Thank you for 31 years, God. And we ask for favor and blessing and anointing and your presence for 31, 32, 33, God, however long it is until you come back, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. And amen. And we declare, church, that the Inland Empire shall be saved.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.